Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll talk about the Russian Keystone spies coming up later in the hour. We'll start with kind of a busman's holiday for teachers and principals in the New York City school system, if you want to call in. We're purposely doing this segment now that vacation has started. So if you can stand it, let's talk about the New York City public schools, now run for 8 years by Mayor Bloomberg with his top-down approach, but it's also a decentralized approach with a mission to hold each school and each principal accountable for student performance year to year. The reforms give principals much more power over how his or school is run, but also a lot more accountability. We know the report cards, the school report cards, which rate each school from A down to an F, sometimes in a baffling system. The schools with improving grades are rewarded with bonuses for principals and teachers. Schools and principals with consistently low scores find themselves on the chopping block, and we've seen all the protests around that this year. Schools that the city wanted to close that local parents didn't want them to close. Well, there's a new report on all of this that tries to make sense of where the reforms are really at and what's working and what's not working. And it finds mixed results. The report from the New School Center for New York City Affairs says that the overall concept of empowering principals seems to be working, and yet there is definite room for improvement. So here to talk about the good and the bad is Clara Hemphill, senior editor of the New School's report. She spent years before and after Bloomberg's changes immersed in public schools in the South Bronx's District 7. She spent a lot of time, for example, at PS 25, which got an F in 2008, but bounced back with an A in 2009. What does that really mean? Clara tells us this report isn't all that simple. And teachers and principals, we invite your calls at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So before you run out to the beach or the Adirondacks or wherever you go, call in right now and tell us how it worked this year, the current accountability system to improve education or not at your school. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Clara Hemphill, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
Tell us more about PS 25. The school went from an F to an A in 1 year, so something must be working.
Well, we found that the A to F system was really baffling and really confusing for parents, even though it's meant to be a clear, easy to understand snapshot. In fact, we found that some very good schools, schools that we thought were very good, got very low grades and vice versa. So there really isn't a lot of correlation between how good the school is and the report card grade. That said, I think PS 25 in the South Bronx is one of the success stories. I think the new principal has put in place a lot of good teaching techniques, and I hope it will turn around. Did it go from the very bottom of the schools to the very top? I don't know, but that's what the report card said.
The A to F system, as I understand it, is supposed to be about improvement. So if you had a school that was doing really, 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 really badly, and then they were only doing kind of badly, they might get an A for a major improvement, whereas a school near the top of academic achievement that kind of goes down a little might get a lower grade than that pretty bad school. Is that the hub of why it's confusing?
It's even more confusing than that, but that's probably the simplest way to describe it. And we think it's important to recognize improvement. We think if a school goes from the very bottom to the middle, it should get praise. But we also think that it's too complicated to just give one letter grade to a school. What we found, for example, is some schools that the kids thought were really dangerous, where they didn't feel safe to go to school, got really top-ranked grades. That just doesn't make any sense.
So tell us more about PS 25. What kind of school is it? You've been looking at it, I guess, with InsideSchools.org, which you were with for a long time. You've been looking at this 10 years ago, looking at this 5 years ago, and looking at this today. You're pretty immersed in the history of this South Bronx school.
This district was a very politically corrupt district with a huge amount of patronage in the old days. And this was called the bilingual school, which teasingly we used to call it natilingualism. That is, they don't teach either English or Spanish. When I went there a number of years ago, the teachers didn't speak English, and I saw grammatical mistakes even in Spanish on the bulletin, on the blackboards. So it was really a school where teachers were hired according to their political connections rather than according to how well they could teach the students. In 2008, a new principal took over, and she began to change that culture, I think, very much for the better. However, the real reason that it went from the very bottom of the school rankings to the very top is they phased out the middle school, and they no longer had an eighth grade. Very few of those eighth graders could read at grade level. So, get rid of the eighth grade, magically, the school goes up in the rankings.
So what do you conclude worked other than that, you know, on paper change that made the scores magically go up by eliminating the eighth grade? What do you conclude worked about Bloomberg reforms and what didn't work?
Well, we think it's important to have some accountability. And for decades, schools in neighborhoods like the South Bronx were able to get away with educational neglect. So we think it's very important that somebody's paying attention to whether or not the kids in the South Bronx can read. The problem is the excessive emphasis on test scores. We don't think the tests are bad, but we think they've been used in ways for which they were not designed to be used, and that the city has put way, way too much weight on the test scores, which distorts them and makes them unreliable.
But you were telling me off the air before we started that there's also been a lot of improvements in a lot of individual schools. So is that because of the testing and accountability system or in spite of it?
That's a good question. I think one of the reasons that the schools have gotten better is that teacher salaries have been raised by something like 43%. So we're attracting some very strong teachers in the city, and a lot of them are staying. I think there's been a big emphasis put on developing principals in the poor neighborhoods. They are now hired centrally rather than by the local districts. So in the poor neighborhoods, I think we've seen some improvements, both because somebody cares now in a way that they didn't before, and because the quality of the teaching force, I think, has improved.
Let's take a call. Here is Thomas in Mamaroneck, who just resigned as a New York City public school teacher. Is that right, Thomas?
Correct.
Because?
I took another job.
Okay. So what did you call to say?
Speaking about the accountability, I know that our school received a low report card grade, so to speak. So and part of the reason was because of our students not gaining or earning enough credits. And so what our principal did was implemented a system which was very controversial among the teachers and staff, but a system in order for students to gain credit or earn credit, I should say, either because they failed classes or for whatever reason, so that they could, you know, our report card grade would improve. I just think that this notion of the schools being more accountable is actually a mirage. It's not an indication, especially the letter grades, that students are being in any way more educated or the schools are improving. It's very, very easy to sort of fix the way that the school looks on the surface very easily.
So the frustrating thing here is that there's an undercurrent in what you say of nothing can really make much of a difference in terms of an accountability system to get the school to teach more kids effectively. Are you
Correct.
Saying that?
Yeah, I think the accountability system itself is what is flawed. I think that we're looking for a way to make numbers look better, and you know, and I think that naturally, I mean, logically speaking, if we're looking for a way to improve our numbers, what's going to happen is that those numbers are going to be fudged. I mean, that's just logically what's going to happen, and so looking in and say, well, I mean, how does a school go from a D to an A in 1 year? It's a little bit, as a teacher who's been teaching in New York City for the past 6 years, I don't believe that for a second.
But, Thomas, I'll bet there are a lot of people listening who are thinking, wait a minute, teachers want to be treated like professionals, but then they don't want to be held accountable like professionals. And you want to institute some kind of system by which you can measure or assess the progress of your students so that you can teach them more effectively if they're not doing well.
Absolutely.
But then you say, well, any system of accountability is going to be meaningless because the results are going to be fudged.
I just think the risk for educational fraud is too high with the current system of accountability, the way that it is set up, not just in New York City, but across the United States.
Thomas, thank you very much. Clary, you want to weigh in?
I understand what he's saying, and I agree with a lot of it. I think part of the problem is that we're relying too heavily on the numbers and not heavily enough on human supervision. One of the things that the Klein administration did was reduce the power of the superintendents very dramatically.
The district superintendents. It seems like they don't like that whole layer of bureaucracy. They have the centralized Department of Education at the Tweed Courthouse near City Hall, and then they want to empower the 1,000 or so individual school principals around the city.
You can call it bureaucracy or you can call it middle management, but what they've essentially said is that their principals don't have any supervisors. They don't have anybody coming in and seeing whether the teachers are doing their jobs or whether the schools are safe or whether there are lots of books in the classrooms.
The principal can't do that and be held accountable for that?
The principal can do that, and of course the principal should do that, but there's nobody supervising the principal. So what we think you need is a combination of human supervision and human judgment and some of the numbers, but not the numbers just by themselves.
Victoria in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Victoria.
Hi there.
You're a high school teacher?
I'm a high school teacher, and yes, accountability is important. However, I do agree with the other speakers that the numbers are skewed, and sometimes the numbers are skewed because they represent students that haven't even been in the building. They were on a roster and never even attended one day in school. And so at the high school level, when we look at graduation rates, which is the number one focus in high school accountability, those numbers would be skewed if those students never set foot in the building but yet were part of the cohort that should have graduated in those 4 years.
You don't have to tell us which high school you teach at, but tell us if you know the rough graduation rate.
Yes, I do. The rough graduation rate is approximately 53%, which is slightly above the national average. However, the figures were represented at below 40%.
Still, almost half, even the way you think it should be measured, almost half the students aren't graduating, at least in 4 years. What do you think does need to be done about that?
Part of the problem is that the data needs to be disaggregated. If that student arrived from another country at age 17, I ask any listener out there, if you arrived from America to Russia at age 17, learning a new alphabet and learning a whole new language, could you graduate with a diploma that represented a standardized test in chemistry, physics, Russian history? No. I think the answer would be no from any listeners. So that needs to be separated. That percentage needs to be separated.
And then what?
And then what? Let's look at the remaining students. If they didn't graduate, how did they start off from middle school? Did they join this particular school for 6 months?
Victoria, thank you very much. See, Clara, that all sounds like it's in defense of the school's statistics. I couldn't really get an answer about how to teach the kids who aren't graduating.
She did identify two significant problems with the accountability system. One is that the Department of Ed doesn't take attendance into account very much. And we're very suspicious of schools that get high grades on the report cards but have very low attendance rates. The other thing that the schools, they compare schools that are similar to each other as a way of trying to level the playing field. Mm-hmm. However, they don't have a way to they count kids' eighth grade test scores as a way to compare high schools to each other. Unfortunately, or fortunately, there's a lot of kids coming in without any eighth grade test scores because they're coming from other countries. So that those are two significant flaws with the accountability system. In terms of how to teach the older students who come from other countries, in fact, the city has a number of the international schools which do an excellent job of taking kids who non-traditional backgrounds. They may have been out of school for a couple of years because of a war, and yet they do graduate them. They may not graduate them in 4 years, but they do graduate them.
What percentage, if you know, of New York City public school students, and there are over a million New York City public school students at any given time, are foreign-born at this point?
About 50% of children or their parents are born in other countries, so nearly half.
And is the school system responding to that need in the ways that it needs to be met? Or is that a different report?
That's a different report, but it varies. Some schools are doing very well, and some are really not doing well at all.
Are principals held accountable along those specific lines?
In fact, the accountability system does take into account the number of children who don't speak English when they're giving you a grade, so that you get a little boost in your report card grade if you take in a lot of students who have English as a second language.
We're just about out of time. Are they listening at the Department of Education?
I think they recognize the problems. How to solve them is another question.
Clara Hemphill, who is the editor of a new report from the New Schools Center for New York City Affairs, saying the overall concept of empowering principals is working to some degree, and yet there is definite room for improvement in how the accountability is done. Teachers, principals, thank you for your calls. We'll obviously talk a lot more education as the summer goes on and include your voices a lot. Clara Hemphill, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
And we're going to come back to a different education question a little later in the hour. There are some schools in our area that are graduating multiple, and I mean more than two, valedictorians. So we will look at the politics of being the valedictorian and how it actually impinges on the education that some of the best students could be getting. Stay with us.